Morning. Let's open our Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 10. Then Samuel took a flask of olive oil and poured it on Saul's head and kissed him, saying, "Has not the Lord anointed you ruler over his inheritance? When you leave me today, you will meet two men near Rachel's tomb at Zelzar on the border of Benjamin. They will say to you, 'The donkeys you set out to look for him, that you have looked for have been found. And now your father has stopped thinking about them and is worried about you. He is asking, what shall I do about my son?' Then you will go on from there until you reach the great tree of Tabor. Three men going up to worship God at Bethel will meet you there. One will be carrying three young goats, another three loaves of bread, and another a skin of wine. They'll greet you and offer you two loaves of bread, which you will accept from them. After that, you will go to Gibeah of God, where there is a Philistine outpost. As you approach the town, you'll meet a procession of prophets coming down from the high place with lyres and timbrels and pipes and harps being played before them, and they will be prophesying. The Spirit of the Lord will come powerfully upon you, and you will prophesy with them, and you'll be changed into a different person. Once these signs are fulfilled, do whatever your hand finds to do, for God is with you. Go down ahead of me to Gilgal. I will surely come down to you to sacrifice burnt offerings and fellowship offerings. But you must wait 7 days until I come to you and tell you what you are to do." As Saul turned to leave Samuel, God changed Saul's heart, and all these signs were fulfilled that day. When he and his servants arrived at Gibeah, a procession of prophets met him. The Spirit of God came powerfully upon him, and he joined in their prophesying. When all those who had formerly known him saw him prophesying with the prophets, they asked each other, "What is this that has happened to the son of Kish? Is Saul also among the prophets?" A man who lived there answered, "Who is their father?" So it became a saying, "Is Saul also among the prophets?" After Saul stopped prophesying, he went to the high place. Now Saul's uncle asked him and his servant, "Where have you been?" "Looking for the donkeys," he said. "But when we saw they were not to be found, we went to Samuel." Saul's uncle said, "Tell me what Samuel said to you." Saul replied, "He assured us that the donkey had been found, but he did not tell his uncle what Samuel had said about the kingship." Samuel summoned the people of Israel to the Lord at Mizpah and said to them, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. I brought Israel up out of Egypt, and I delivered you from the power of Egypt and all the kingdoms that oppressed you. But you have now rejected your God who saves you out of all your disasters and calamities. And you have said, no, appoint a king over us. So now present yourselves before the Lord by your tribes and clans." When Samuel had all Israel come forward by tribes, the tribe of Benjamin was taken by lot. Then he brought before the tribe of Benjamin, clan by clan, and Matri's clan was taken. Finally, Saul, son of Kish, was taken. But when they looked for him, he was not to be found. So they inquired further of the Lord, "Has the man come here yet?" And the Lord said, "Yes, he has hidden himself amongst the supplies." They ran and brought him out, and as he stood among the people, he was a head taller than any of the others. Samuel said to all the people, "Do you see the man the Lord has chosen? There is no one like him among all the people." Then the people shouted, "Long live the king." Samuel explained to the people the rights and duties of kingship. He wrote them down on a scroll and deposited it before the Lord. Then Samuel dismissed the people to go to their own homes. Saul also went to his home in Gibeah, accompanied by valiant men whose hearts God has touched. But some scoundrels said, "How can this fellow save us?" They despised him and brought him no gifts, but Saul kept silence. Let's pray. God, we just thank you so much for today. We thank you that we can come before you and just hear your word. Holy Spirit, we just ask that you will just guide us this morning. Guide me this morning, Lord. Help us to hear what you have to share with us. We invite you into this room, into our hearts, into our lives. In your name we pray. Amen. You know, as I was reading this passage and just kind of looking at it, I find this passage quite fascinating because there seems to be two very different views on Saul by two very different groups of Christians. But not like different as in like physically. It's just like they're two different groups that look at this passage with two different looks. You have the one group that looks at it being like, Saul is being humble. And you have another group saying, Saul is insecure. And they're looking at the exact same passage with the exact same references and being saying, see, this is why Saul was being humble. And then the other side comes along and says, no. This is Saul being insecure. And I just thought it was quite fascinating to read because when you see that two different views about the same exact experience, you go, what's going on here? Sometimes I wonder maybe if the theologian, the devotional writer, the pastor, whomever it is speaking on it, is if maybe they're portraying a little bit of themselves in Saul. Right? Like when you feel like you're in, when you want to hide, are you seeing it as being insecure or are you seeing it as being humble? Right? And you have these two varying different looks at Saul in this. Now, when you look at this entire passage, I mean, the first thing you see is Saul's anointed with oil. Saul's anointed with a lot of oil. You know, when I was thinking back at the P. Sophia, P. Nate, when we ordained them, you know, P. Sam, and when we do baby dedications, P. Sam, you know, puts a little bit of oil on the, well, not baby dedication, sorry. When we anoint people, it's just a tiny bit of oil he drops on their head, right? But this was like, I mean, one person said it was like a gallon, so I don't know what that is, but like, I know what a gallon is, but it's just like he was soaked in oil. Like soaked in oil. But when we think about being soaked in oil, which is that, it's like the wedding ring or being put in the water. It's that symbol of an action that's taking place, right? Saul actually, it's later that we see the manifestation of the Holy Spirit come through him, right? But it's that showing, and he's dripping in oil. How are we dripping in the Holy Spirit? You know, Saul, when he starts to prophesy, you know, and Samuel said it, you are going to be a changed person. Those that knew him were looking at him like, who are you? Who is this person that's prophesying? You know, there's that manifestation of the Holy Spirit that came about. It's quite interesting to think about that. That one moment he couldn't prophesy, and the next moment he could. You know, in our lives, we wonder about spiritual gifts sometimes. And we wonder, what do we have to do to get them? Saul didn't have to do anything except for be where he was supposed to be. Right? Saul didn't have to do anything except for allow God to anoint him with oil. Allow God to come into his life. And Saul starts to prophesy. Now, he had to be where he was supposed to be. He had to follow the instructions. But here we see this transformation in Saul. This reception of the Holy Spirit was the real anointing. You know, oftentimes we come up front to pray for spiritual gifts and someone prays for it over us. That's actually not the real anointing. The real anointing is when the Holy Spirit falls on us and releases that in us. And yes, we as the body can come alongside God. We can anoint people. We can do all of that. But the reality is it's already on us, right? It's already, like when we look at our lay pastors, P. Sam will say, we're just anointing them in what they're already doing. We're anointing them already in, you know, recognizing the giftings God has placed in them. That real reception is that moment the Holy Spirit comes on us. And I think about our own lives, how do we recognize where that's happened? You know, Saul was clearly not a perfect person. We know that. We see that in 1 Samuel 15. He gets rejected as king. Right? He gets rejected as king. His lineage, his children do not get to keep on going as king. But God still used him. You know, one of the other things that really stood out to me in this passage was that Saul, though he was king, needed to still submit to Samuel. He did not have full authority. He did not have full authority to do whatever he wanted, whenever he wanted. And this is what leads him to being rejected as king. You see in this passage, he's told to wait 7 days, and he does. And then in 1 Samuel 15, we see he does not wait for Samuel to arrive. He takes things into his own hands. And I think as I was looking at that, especially as being a leader, as a pastor, we need to remember that we do not have full authority. Only God does. We are to follow his calling, his steps, his plans, not our own. And I think sometimes one of the problems with that is we often forget to go before God. Or we will make a proclamation in our heart. We might even tell people, like, oh, thus saith the Lord in our heart, and we just do it without ever reflecting, like, did I get that wrong? God, show me, did I do something wrong? Like, when God, am I not, like, okay, I thought you said this, things didn't go as planned. Do I take the time to stop and think, did I actually hear from God first? Did I think I heard from God? Did I get enough people around me that would speak truth into my life about the situation that would reveal to me something that maybe I'm amiss? And I think that's when the thing is, like, when you're a leader of any sort, right? It could be a leader at work. You could be a leader in a class in SP Kids. We need to be able to remember that the full authority is God. And we need to follow his ways and his plans. And even a king like Saul needed to follow the spiritual leaders. He needed to follow God over himself. He needed to wait, which was something a king would never have done. He would never have been told, wait for somebody. It would have been always the other way around. When we look at Deuteronomy 17, 14 to 15, we see another aspect. Something that reminds us, often when we read this passage, we see this as a moment where of disobedience, because now the Israelites have come in and they've decided we prefer a king over Samuel or over God. And we often look at that and say, that's the sin. But actually, that is not the sin. We see in Deuteronomy 17, 14 to 15, when you come to the land that the Lord your God is giving you and you possess it and dwell in it, and then say, I will set a king over me like all the nations that are around me. You may indeed set a king. You may indeed set a king over you whom the Lord your God will choose. We see already in Deuteronomy. Now, some might say, well, God is just saying this is going to happen. But no, actually, God was allowing for a king to come in place. God's plan had always been a king. But what kind of king? See, the problem with the kingship here and the problem with the kingship with the Israelites is that they desired a king like the rest of the world, which is what God told them exactly not to have. They even said, we want a king like the other nations. God said, don't allow another nation to rule over you. Now, yeah, they're still getting a king from within their own nation and their own people, but it would be a king like the other nations, not a king like God. Not a king who will follow God. Not a king who will lead and hear. Now, maybe it didn't have to be an actual king, but here we see the real sin, the real problem is that what kind of king they wanted. What kind of person they wanted. And we see in Saul someone who looked good, right? Even Samuel's like, look at him. There's no one like him. He's so tall. He was the image of a leader. He was the image, the physical look. How many times, if you just actually think to yourself, if you were to see a certain kind of person without knowing them, who would you want to be your leader just on physical appearance? The little scrawny guy, right? If you compare how Samuel saw David versus how Samuel saw Saul, the reaction is so different from Samuel. Right? It's like going one after, he's like, well, I mean, maybe not so much about David himself, but it was like Samuel, when he went to go find David, when he went to Jesse, he went son after son after son. And God's like, nope, nope, nope. Because he was looking at the appearance. He was looking at what he saw. He was looking at basically the CV, the resume. And here we see Saul, Samuel says, look, there's no one like him. And yet he was just hiding in the luggage. He was just hiding in the luggage. He was already anointed king. He knew he was going to be king. Right? The lots, some people, basically the lots were just a confirmation of what God had already decided. It was a confirmation. Do you see this? Samuel, God's anointed leader, spiritual leader, the prophet of Israel, anointed him, heard from God, and he still took the steps to do it in a way that the people would recognize that it was God. They used lots at the time. Now we have, like, we don't draw lots to pick leaders at SP, right? And we have very strong opinions about that, which I agree with. My church at home does draw lots to a degree, as in they have an approved group of people that's been prayed about. And then from that group, they pull the names out of a hat, basically, or at least they used to. But it's not like it's just anyone in the congregation. So, like, say there's 10 people in the hat, all have been approved, and they pick 5, right? It's not quite the same. I'm not going to get on my theological opinions on what I really think about that. But here we have here, Samuel doesn't just come out and say, he's the king. He follows the tradition in the culture so that Saul would be accepted, and Saul's hiding in the luggage. He already knows the results. He already knows the results of what's going to happen. And he's hiding. He's hiding. Now, we could look at it, as I said at the very beginning, was Saul being humble? Maybe he was afraid. Maybe that weight of leadership came upon him. You know, let's give him the benefit of the doubt for a second that honestly, he saw what was coming and it just frightened him, or it overwhelmed him. Not in a negative way, right? Let's go with that track. And he just didn't know how to handle it. But look at all the signs that God had given him to confirm, not to the people per se, but to Saul, that he was to be king, right? Samuel said, 1, 2, 3, these 3 things are going to happen, and wait for 7 days. And 1, 2, 3 happened, and he waited for 7 days. You know, in our lives, how many times does God give us confirmation? And not even when we're asking for it, and we just still struggle to say yes or no, depending on which thing God is asking. You know, maybe God's saying, no, not on this, and we struggle with it. Or yes, on this, and we struggle. And we can relate to Saul in that perspective on the scripture, right? But we can also look at this as a moment where maybe Saul's insecurities are starting to show. Saul's insecurities of what the world is going to be placed on him, right? The very end, it talks about these people talking about him. Right? And I read that it made it very clear Saul could hear, and he said nothing. And I don't know fully why Saul didn't say anything when people were grumbling that he was the king, when they didn't celebrate him as being king. You know, maybe it was he just didn't need to prove anything, but his hiding in the luggage kind of makes me wonder if it was more he didn't have the boldness or the strength to speak up in a way. He was more concerned about what people thought about him than what God thought about him. And honestly, I can't say which one it is, right? It could be either or. And so I think that's one of the things that's fascinating about this passage is, honestly, we could read it in 2 ways and get 2 different messages, but what we should really come back down to, and as we go into the time of reflection, and as Cardia comes up to lead worship, are we walking in the boldness and humility, not false humility, of what God has called us to do? Are we walking in both the boldness and the true humility, not false humility? And if you are insecure, which is okay, but do you hide or do you run to God? If you're struggling with, I think for all the pastors, but I know for myself, when getting called to this position, there was a lot of doubts and there was a lot of wrestling in my mind. And it was probably about a 5-year journey to even get me to work at a church, you know? it's okay if we're in that space, but are we running towards the things of the world? Are we hiding in the luggage? Are we hiding away? Or are we running to God? Are we running to God in that? You know, God can make us a new person, but do we take the steps to run to Him in that process, to share with Him what we're going through, instead of keeping it to ourselves, and allow God to mold us and shape us after Him? So let's just spend some time asking God, what is it you're calling me to, God, and how am I feeling about it? How am I feeling about it? worshiping, I was really feeling like I heard from God that, you know, Saul, he hid. He did hide. It's not about what he did, like, and whether that was because of lack of security in what God had placed or whether it was humility. There's nothing wrong with being wrong, like doing the wrong step, not coming out. It's what we do with it. What we do when we are afraid or when we are wrong or when we are insecure in what God has called us to do. It's not that that's the problem. It's what we do after that. You know, and Saul had a good run for a little bit. Right? He wasn't the worst king. He made a mistake. But he didn't own up to that mistake. Right? He didn't own up to it in the end. And he lost the kingship. So this morning, let's just go before God and let's just take a moment and give thanks to him that he's a God who's with us, that we don't lose the Holy Spirit once we believe in Jesus. But let's ask him to just really show us, keep just pouring it. I just want us to, one more second, just allow him to show us what it is today in our life that we need him, that we need to turn to him about. What is that one thing? And let's give thanks to God that he reveals that to us. Pray for those who are battling cancer, going through chemo, radiation therapy, and surgery recovery. Let's just really pray that God's healing hand will be upon each and every one of these people and their family. Who are sick but also need salvation, let's pray that their eyes will be open to God, their heart and their mind be open to God, and also that their physical symptoms will also be healed. Who are suffering from other infirmities, let's just pray that God will continue to demonstrate to them how he's with them through this process, and let's pray for healing as well. for those who are looking for jobs, let's pray that God will open the right door at the right time, that all their needs in the meantime will be provided for. Let's just, and actually I think we can, that's okay. Let's just pray for those with jobs. For our mission focus, let's lift up SP Singapore, Spin and Spill. Let's pray for P. Sam Kim, P. Salman, P. Ernie, their families as they minister together, as they minister amongst these different congregations. Let's just pray that God's Spirit will just be upon them and that their members will really just grow in faith in God. Our education ministries, SP Kids under me and Lisa, under SP Youth under Donald and SP Andrew. Let's just pray for the leaders. Let's pray for the volunteers, the teachers. Let's just pray that for unity and just that there'll be such a passion for those who are serving. And let's also lift up the kids and the students, that they will just have a firm foundation of faith from a very, very young age that will just only continue to grow and it will last with them for a lifetime. Up our prayer and healing teams, IP led by Matt, the well by Sarah, and river by Rachel. Let's just pray that God will speak to their leaders, that they'll continue to just be fed by you, Lord. We just pray for each of these teams as they minister for, on behalf of our church and to our church, that they will really just hear from you, God. Our evening outreaches, SP Lights and Homie. Let's just really pray for God just to be made known in this city. Let's pray that we can be his hands and feet. Let's lift up the people that will be ministered to. Let's just really pray that they will feel loved and cared for and that their hearts will be open to God. Thank you. our house churches meeting tonight, East Bay, McRobinson, Olympic, Robin Hood, and Cullen West. Let's just really pray that they will have such an amazing time of fellowship, an amazing time of getting into God's word and discussing. And let's just pray that God will just continue to unite them as our brothers and sisters. Let's lift up Hong Kong. Let's just lift up our city. Let's lift up its leaders. Let's just pray for revival in their hearts, that they will turn to God as well. Let's just pray for wisdom and decisions they have to make. And let's just pray that we'll have continued protection against COVID. God, we just thank you, Lord, that you are with us, God, that you call us, God, that you show us the way. God, help us to see the path that you've called and laid out before us. God, help us to be humble in that experience and in those callings, but God, be bold, because we know that your Spirit lives in us, that it's you that we're testifying to, God, that the Holy Spirit in us is also a way in which that we can really be a demonstration to glorify your name. And so, Lord, we just pray, God, that today as we go about our lives, our work, our interacting with family and friends, Lord, that we can really be a light to the people around us. And so, Holy Spirit, just please guide us and show us today. In your name we pray, amen. Have a great and wonderful rest of your prayer time, and we hope to see you tomorrow.